All right, good morning. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasted out of unceded Musqueam territories. You're listening to Vancouverite. It's your favorite morning comedy talk show. My name is Simon Armstrong, and I'm joined by a special guest host.
Hello, good morning. My name is Gavin Clarkson. I'm a local mixed amateur comedian. I'm going to be enjoying this time on the air this morning with everybody and Simon. It is early.
It is.
You told me it was this early. I didn't realize how early this early was.
It's early.
It is. Yeah.
You need to fuel yourself. Did you get much sleep last night?
I did not at all.
No.
I was just far too excited.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. This is like, it is early in the morning and it's awful being here, like, you know, all tired, but it's probably the only thing that I can get up early for and be like, no, I don't care. I'm excited. I wanna go in there and do it.
You know what I mean?
No matter what.
Yeah.
Alex isn't here today. I don't know. I think I heard that he actually joined up with the French Foreign Legion and is now pursuing a career in the military.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah. No, good luck to him.
I've heard him talk about that. Very patriotic of him.
He really is. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't fit in with the French Foreign Legion.
I don't think he speaks French at all. Do you need French to be in the French Foreign
Legion?
That's
the thing. You can be anybody and join the French Foreign Legion.
Oh, fantastic!
It's really one of the more intimidating, you know, ideas that you can be like a convict or a exile and just the French set it up. It's like anybody can join and, you know, you'll be made a French citizen if you sign a certain length of contract. And Alex was very intent on being a French citizen and, you know, he had some debts I think he had to run away from.
Yeah, but. Well, by even if he did speak French, by that description, he wouldn't fit in at all.
Well, yeah. More power to you, Alex, and contact us from somewhere in Afghanistan or wherever they're stationing you.
Vive la Revolution.
I wish you the best. So what's going on with you, Gavin? What's up?
Oh, not too much. Just enjoying some good on-time air. It's been a rough week.
It's been a
harsh week, especially for anybody who's a fan of pretty much anything.
That's true. There's
been a broad spectrum of very unfortunate celebrity deaths.
Lots of deaths. Yeah. Lemmy, followed by David Bowie.
Yep.
Followed by today, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Hans Gruber himself.
Yep. Exactly. Hans Gruber, Snape.
Snape, yeah.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, Hans Gruber, yeah.
The guy in Dogma.
Yeah. Yeah, the crotchless, like a Ken doll.
Yeah,
in Dogma,
that was,
right?
Yeah, that was him. We will all remember his silky smooth crotch.
Yeah. It's weird. When I read the Harry Potter books when I was younger, and I feel like when I was reading them as a small child, I was picturing Alan Rickman in my head before the movies ever came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was just perfect for that.
Oh, he absolutely
And, I don't know, but David Bowie, that's ridiculous.
My fiance is she lives and breathes David Bowie. She's
been
the biggest fan.
Yeah.
And his death could not have come at a more inopportune time, especially for me and my standing as a partner and boyfriend, because
oh my god,
his last album dropped on Friday.
Okay.
And it was my weighty task to go out to the store and get this album when it came out so that she could have it immediately. And it would have been very special if I even picked it up and delivered it to her work.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any of those things.
Of course, I completely forgot. We got in
a huge fight over it.
Oh, no.
Because I had completely neglected her. And I thought, what's the big deal? And then, like, 40 hours later, he dies. So
it's your fault.
Oh, God. If he had just gotten that one more album sale.
You're to blame.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was so fresh. And even that Saturday, like, it was a very Bowie thick weekend because it was his birthday weekend. And that Saturday, we went to this Bowie themed dance party at the Fox Cabaret.
Wow.
And it was all very thrilling. And then that Sunday night, we got the news that he had passed. So we're working, I'm being as supportive as I can. We're working through the grieving process together. And that
what
involved,
is that like? Yeah.
It's been, well, it involved the first day, Monday, we watched Labyrinth.
Okay.
Which is a classic.
Amazing.
That was totally fine.
Yeah.
And then we watched one of his live concerts directly after that. So we're running on about, Labyrinth is maybe 2 hours long.
We're
about 2.5 in.
Yeah.
And then we watched The Man Who Fell to Earth. Have you seen The Man Who Fell
to
Earth?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know who else has.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's like 2.5 hours long.
I think it took me a few sittings, but I did push through it.
Yeah, it should have. I even called her and I was like, there's no way you've watched this more than once. She's like, I've seen it 5 times. I'm like,
she's,
oh, okay.
She's that dedicated
oh,
to Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
So was she crying during all of these?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
too bad.
Oh, no. It's been harsh. Like, it's... Yeah. And especially Bowie with... He had just such a huge influence, especially to kind of like the underdogs and the misfits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so she had a really big relation with him there. So it was especially hard on her.
Yeah.
And
I honestly don't go any further than his hits. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I don't. But I'm a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, mm-hmm. and I know that Stevie Ray Vaughan gave David Bowie all the credit in the world for getting him booked at mm-hmm. Montreux. In 82 and 85, like those two concerts that really like made Stevie Ray Vaughan in a lot of ways. He said David Bowie got me these. So it's like I've always, you know, thought of him, David Bowie, that is, like, give him a lot of respect, even though I didn't, you know, necessarily go that deep with
yeah.
his music.
Yeah,
you know,
that's entirely fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, yeah. there's he's topping the charts again, and his Facebook page has gotten so many more likes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know.
I hope that this becomes the new, like, Tupac, the new Elvis type thing, you know, where they're going, no,
David
you know.
David Bowie impersonators?
David Bowie.
Oh, David Bowie would be so fun to be an impersonator of.
There you
that
go,
That would be
right?
amazing.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. But also, like, David Bowie's not really dead. Like, he's organized all this stuff. Think about it. Like,
yeah.
the birthday the party thing mm-hmm. the you know you getting forgetting the album
yep.
like I feel like Bowie knew about that
orchestrated it all
his new album and now he's going you know what I'm just gonna fake my death and then he goes wherever they all go wherever Elvis went wherever you know Tupac
yep.
went I
yeah
don't
exactly and but, even in even when you know the music a bit better Black Star that dropped was a eulogy for himself. It was written about his death.
Oh really?
Yeah, and the music video that he dropped like mere hours before he died.
See?
I can't remember the name of it, but it opened up with yeah. a line of like, look at me, I'm up here in heaven.
And oh, get so, out of here.
Yeah,
yeah like,
I know.
Yeah,
oh,
so.
He's certainly alive.
I mean, solved. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Tell your fiance, right? Fiance?
Yeah, yeah.
That she doesn't need to worry about it because
no.
he is alive and well.
Yeah, she can stop being mad at me for forgetting to buy his album.
Have you still not bought it for her?
No, she bought it herself
oh,
that day
no.
and came home. That was what the fight was about. She yeah, came home yeah. very angry with Black Star in her hand because I forgot to get it for her.
No.
And then he died shortly afterward.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Many of our relationship fights have been Bowie-centered. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a hot button issue.
It is. The movie Prestige, do you remember that one?
With Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah
it's about
yeah.
the two magicians fighting each other.
Yeah.
David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla
oh,
in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of our first, like, major, more major than it should have been, and it's been a hot topic issue ever
yeah.
since, was
yeah.
my idea that Bowie's role in that was just a cameo. And her idea that he was a co-star.
Okay.
And that is and we both really like that movie, but whenever
yeah.
it comes up and whenever we watch it, she's arguing all the scenes he's appearing in. I'm arguing how it's just David Bowie in a movie playing a character.
Yeah.
She's like, he's on the cover. I'm like, of course he's on the cover. It's Bowie. You're not going to not use that. Doesn't make him a star.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird. His Labyrinth was a great movie for me as a child, and like I feel like I'm more acquainted with his bulge than, you know, any other bulge, really.
Oh, absolutely.
In history.
Yeah.
You know?
And do you know the story behind the bulge, where
no,
it came from?
No, tell me, please. I
oh.
need to know.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
The contact juggling that was in that movie.
Yes.
Like, that obviously wasn't Bowie's hand,
mm.
but apparently the costume he was in was really, really sweaty. And the contact juggler, like the double that had to like come in behind him and put his arm up underneath his armpit and do the hand movements for the camera,
yeah.
his face was right next to Bowie's crotch. And Bowie felt very self-conscious about how sweaty and damp
yeah.
it was down there,
oh,
the
no.
smell.
Oh,
so
God.
In one scene, as a joke, he just shoved a big handful of potpourri into like the crotch.
Yeah.
And everybody thought it was hysterical and just kept that crotch bulge in for the rest
like,
of the movie.
We need you to just keep stuffing things down there because it's great. And
exactly.
It's making this movie what it is.
Yeah. And they might, yeah, to be fair, they might have been all been like, let's pretend this is hilarious to keep it in, but honestly, we just need this smell problem to be handled.
it's interesting, the stuff that you kind of, you constantly get into fights or like maybe not even fights but you know altercations with your significant others with like if you look out the window here you can see there's a huge poster sale going
mm-hmm.
on right they did this at BCIT where I go to school too
yeah.
where it's just tons of different posters they're cheap they're like $5 and it's like I'm unfortunately I'm one of the ways I'm a man-child is posters. Like, I'm 26 years old. I shouldn't have posters on my walls.
But you have the black and white Kiss poster, don't you?
I don't. No.
No?
Thankfully.
Oh,
no. No.
Okay.
No, I have. But you know what? This is the point that I'm trying to get at is I was looking through the posters with my girlfriend, and I came across, randomly enough, like, they have all these cool ones like, you know, candid stills from Wayne's World and, you know, alternate Pulp Fiction posters and stuff like that. But I found a very bland, very straightforward Gladiator poster that's just, it says Russell Crowe on the top of it in huge letters. And it's just got Russell Crowe very cheesily leaning down with his Gladiator sword and, you know, staring at the earth and, you know, whatever. It's, I like the movie Gladiator, but the poster is so cheesy.
Way too Russell Crowe-y.
Yeah. It's all about Russell Crowe and it's too much. But I was looking at that with her, and I just went, oh, look at how awful this is. And I don't know what I saw in her face, but I went, yeah, I'm going to wait till she leaves, and then I'm going to buy this because I need this. And then I, you know, I got a – this is another part of the story. I went insane, and I bought, like, six posters.
Oh, okay.
Like, they had still shots from – like that famous photo of Arnold Schwarzenegger on the set of Predator where he's kind of smiling and he's got a big stogie in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they had
I
got a huge one of those. It's, anyways.
Oh, beauty.
So I bought all this stuff, and then I'm showing her. She's back at my apartment, and I'm showing her. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this one and this one. And then she looks at the bottom one, and she goes, oh, what is this? What is it? And I go, oh, that's Gladiator. That's Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And she was so just annoyed. She doesn't live with me or anything, right? Like, she doesn't live there.
Knowing that
but
you had that.
She was so,
I'm putting it on the ceiling in my bedroom.
Yeah. I said that. Believe me. I was like, how's this? Centered directly above the bed. And I've never seen someone more disgusted in their life choices in terms of, you know, I've chosen to be with this person, you know. And so I was, like, you know, holding it up in various places, you know, going, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. And she's just going, ugh, just trying to suffocate herself with a pillow. Like, what are you doing, you idiot? You know? And so I eventually put it behind the door. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I can, you know. So it's she knows it's there, but I feel like I'm not shoving it in her face.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, though, too, because I am a little bit embarrassed about it because it's an awful poster. It's terrible.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's so corny.
Yeah.
And, like, I like that movie, but it's not a great movie. I don't know.
Not really poster worthy.
No, not at all.
It's a favorite of mine, but it's not, like, I don't know. For the franchises make good posters, but just really good standalone dramas like that, unless it's like Godfather was the franchise. So
Yeah.
Or Scarface.
Yeah, Scarface. That's a good one.
That makes a good poster.
Yeah.
Gladiator's a weird choice.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not old enough yet or something.
It's
something.
Yeah.
Something about it isn't classic enough.
What
celebrity poster would you be allowed to have on the ceiling of your bedroom?
Oh, God. I think she's really into weird-looking actors. Like, she just likes... So I think a Steve Buscemi would be fun, you know? Which is odd, right?
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be so unsettling.
Those Buscemi eyes staring. She'd be okay with that, but there's something about Russell Crowe that she's like,
yeah,
you're a fool.
Oh,
and
okay.
I hate you. I think she said that to me upwards of 12 times.
Yeah.
I hate you. Stop, you know, stop what you're doing and cut that up, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to have Steve Buscemi looking down on you both.
I think she would be okay with that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back.
Vancouver Neo Swamp Rock outfit Wooden Horsemen released their EP Sentient at the Biltmore Cabaret on Thursday, January 14th at 8. Joining them are Afrobeat heavyweights Camaro 67 and Marimba legends Kudapira. Bring your dancing shoes to this jam-packed night of local talent. For more information, go to woodenhorseman.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM where we bring you the Community Living Show, a full hour is produced by the disabled community, showcasing for BC self-advocates with lots of interesting and fun content, including some interviews from special guests with special needs. Join hosts Michael, Kelly, and friends every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at citr.ca. Because you've got a friend in community living and CITR. And I got them too. There isn't anything.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9. This is Vancouver, right? I realized that in the first break there, I forgot to say the song name. We played, of course, Bubble Bath by Bestie. And what you just heard was Guile's theme from Street Fighter II. And I wanted to mention, too, that if you want to call in, you should go ahead. It's 604-UBC-CITR. Pretty easy to remember, 604-UBC-CITR. We're also broadcasting live on Periscope. So if you go check out our Twitter, at VancouverWrite, R-I-G-H-T, at VancouverWrite, you can watch us. You can see our beautiful mugs, me and Gavin.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, once again, call in, 604-UBC-CITR. I'm so excited to watch this video because it's on Vine. We're going to watch it on Vine, and it's so forgive me if it loops a million times because I was looping it over and over yesterday.
It's worth more than once.
Yeah, it really is because I don't know if this needs an introduction, but mm-hmm. Larry King is famous, right? And he's also famous for screwing things up. Like, he's had so many moments where there was a woman who was a victim of sexual assault, and she had a bunch of groceries in the back of her car, and these men had attacked her in her car. And Larry, she's telling this horrible story, and Larry King goes, "And so what happened to the groceries?" And it's just like, oh, no, Larry.
Hard-hitting stuff.
Oh, God, Larry, shut up. And then another time he's talking to Sharon Tate's sister. Sharon Tate, of course, is the woman, Roman Polanski's fiancée, who was murdered by Charles Manson.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And he's talking to Sharon Tate's sister, and he goes, "So do you ever talk to Roman Polanski?" And she goes, "Well, yeah, I talk to Roman sometimes." And he goes, "Oh, how can you stand talking to the man who brutally murdered your sister?"
And oh, she's like,
and she's like, Larry.
Those are two very similar names.
Roman didn't murder my sister. And he tries to, he stumbles his way through an explanation.
Oh, my God. Oh,
what I really meant was, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, lead us to now, to 2016. When Larry King's talking to DJ Khalid.
Oh, yes.
And
I love this man.
Let's just watch this. This is amazing.
"You should strive for greatness."
"How did you gain all the weight?"
just eating. "You should strive for greatness."
Yeah.
"How did you gain all the weight?"
Just eating. You should strive for greatness.
Hard hitting.
"How did you
stuff.
Gain all the weight?"
Oh, wait, I do want to know. I want to know. I want to know everything about DJ Khalid.
Here's how he gained all the weight.
Just eating.
There you go.
Yeah,
you got the answer.
Oh, thank you, DJ Khaled.
Oh no,
I love DJ Khaled. I know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I know nothing of his music whatsoever.
Me neither.
I just know the person, and he's the greatest.
What does he do?
He's a producer and a DJ. But again, I don't know the music. But I have him on Snapchat.
You do?
And his Snapchat is hysterical.
It's
like the most useless audiobook to success. That's DJ Khaled. Snapchat.
Oh my God! So he's just yelling at you about changing your life.
Like the beginning of that Vine. That's all it is. Like, it'll show him watering his garden and be like, "They don't want you to have a nice garden. The key is to make it. The key is to try." And like, he'll always have a little key emoticon up. And he got like lost on his jet ski in the middle of the night in like the harbor by his place. And the whole time is like, "The key is to make it. The key is to make it." It's like, holy fuck, you got lost. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And you got to strive for greatness.
Yeah.
You got to strive for greatness.
It's motivational, but it's not, because there's no good advice there. It's like, how do I get started in music, DJ Khaled? It's like, the keys to make it.
Maybe
strive.
Maybe the secret to being motivated is just being yelled at by a man on a jet ski or a man watering his plants. I don't know.
There could be like the next great rapper that saw him watering his plants saying, "They don't want you to have a garden." He's like, yeah, they don't. I'm going to go make it.
I want to know who inspired him, you know,
like
just Emeril Lagasse. He wasn't even talking about being, inspirational, just like, you know, "You got to add Parmesan, boom." And DJ Khaled's like, "Yeah, that's it.
That's
I got
exactly
it. That's
it.
The key."
That's exactly
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, he's just being yelled at. And now he's just, he's taking those tools and
expanding. Just confident yellers. Like, I love confident yellers. That's all I want.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. My workout list is just Chef Ramsay yelling at me over ocean sounds.
Risotto.
Yeah.
Risotto.
I don't even know. Again, don't know where risotto is either. Don't know the food. No. Just know the yelling. That's how I follow celebrities.
I wonder what DJ Khaled's music is like.
I saw like one music video and I had to read his Wikipedia page, and he's done a lot. Like, he's a big producer and everything, but the music videos he show up in are so odd, because he'll have these soulful singers doing this like crazy pop song, and then he'll just pop up from the background and be like, DJ Khaled! And, like, it doesn't fit at all. And it's like, who let this guy in? He doesn't look or sound like anybody. And he'll just pop his head in and then disappear and pop in from the other side and disappear.
Well, I mean, from what you've told me, I mean, that sounds like it makes perfect sense, that he's just yelling in nonsensical stuff from the background. And
that's all he knows how to do.
I have to add him on Snapchat.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so good.
I first got Snapchat when I was at a pub with a bunch of people from school, and they're all years younger than me, like seven, 8, 9 years younger than me, and they were just like, Snapchat. And I was like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. And they just added me, and then like I started watching them do weird stuff, and then I realized you can add celebrities on it too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I gotta get on this.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I mean, I also need to play this one more time.
Yep.
You should strive for greatness.
How did you gain all the weight?
just eating up. You should strive for greatness.
How did you gain all the weight?
Yeah. We've heard strive for greatness. Anyone on a Snapchat has heard him talk like that. We want the real story, Larry King.
Yeah.
Thank God for you. We want to know how we got fat.
Everybody knows that you're striving for greatness, and you got some hedges, and like the Knights of Knee, and everything's fine. And we get that
shrubbery, and they don't want you to have a shrubbery.
Yeah, but
and
really,
you're smart.
How did you gain all the weight? Tell me about that. Fantastic stuff. Have you ever seen Larry King talk to Jerry Seinfeld, where he says, he's talking to him, and he goes, "So you got canceled, right? Seinfeld got canceled," and Jerry Seinfeld's like, "No, what are you talking about? Is this CNN? Like, didn't you do your research? I had 5 million viewers. What are you talking about?" And it's like, oh god,
man.
It's like, I don't know. It's amazing that someone with such a huge team of people behind him can still mess it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea that he was notorious for slipping up on little things or really big things.
Here's the thing. I don't know how long he's been doing it, like 40 years or something.
Oh, insane amount.
And there's like 5 examples I can think of him messing up really badly.
And that's fair.
That's not that bad.
Yeah.
But they are hilarious.
I haven't seen many of his interviews, but every time I see him, it looks like his suspenders are pulling through his body. Like, there's just, his shoulders look so contorted just over years of suspender abuse.
Yes. he does have very square shoulders, and he's slowly being pulled down.
Yeah.
He's losing the fight against the suspenders.
He is. It's tragic.
Over a long period
of time.
It's going
to be another horrible celebrity loss.
He's one of those guys that people tell weird rumors about. Like, I heard that he has a fart fan under his desk that blows, like, because he can't control his sphincter anymore. And it just blows the farts away from the guests.
Oh, wow.
Probably not true.
Little thing, potpourri. Oh, yeah. I'd like to pretend those things are true. Yeah.
It all goes back to the potpourri.
It does. Yeah. And even Larry King has been inspired by Bowie.
There we go.
Yeah. To keep his nether regions fresh.
I actually also wanted to talk about this article that I read about this woman whose son was growing up, and he was turned 13 or something, and he couldn't cuddle her anymore. You know, mm-hmm. He was too old for that. So she took it upon herself to knit a life-size version of him.
Oh.
And I'll post this on our Facebook page. This article is ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
But you can see that there's a picture of him standing next to the knitted figure. Can you see that okay?
Oh, yeah. I can see that far too well.
And
that picture is burnt in.
You'll notice.
Oh.
You'll notice that one of them is a 13-year-old boy, mm-hmm. and the other is a hellish nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can hardly tell the difference between the full-sized man and the knitted replicate.
That's horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Nothing makes for an uncanny valley like yarn. And I never thought I'd say that.
The fact that this woman knitted it and is cuddling it.
Yeah.
And is going, "You see, son, you don't love me enough anymore.
Yeah.
I've made my son who will cuddle me."
So did her son passed or something? Or?
No, he's okay. He just doesn't want to cuddle mom anymore.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even... Oh, that poor child.
"My son is reaching puberty," she writes. "We used to cuddle all the time, but those days are becoming scarce.
Oh.
Now he'd rather hang with his friends, play on his phone, and listen to his iPod. Exactly according to nature's plan."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
so
she...
I did the natural thing that any parent does.
Yes.
And made an enormous, horrifying sock puppet
It really is.
With hat. She even made a little hat for it, which is a nice touch.
And knitted some little headphones for him, too.
Oh, the headphones are knitted, too?
Those are knitted.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she's got some skill. I'll tell her that.
Yeah, it's very misapplied. There's skill there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if she just knitted the hat or the headphones.
Like Hannibal Lecter was an amazing chef, I'm sure. But he misapplied that skill very inappropriately.
He absolutely did.
Yeah. And that's how I feel here. She's the Hannibal Lecter of knitting.
I don't know what... Oh, my God. There's another picture here that says, would you like some knitted fries with that? And he's holding some knitted fries that she... I wonder if this woman has an Etsy. What do you think the chances are that she has an Etsy?
Yeah.
I mean...
Exclusively does knitted sons. And you have to send in an application of how neglectful your son has become. Living sons only.
I feel like that's some weird, like she's trying to be a nice woman and be like, I understand my son needs some room.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also being like, see, the knitted boy doesn't mind cuddling with mother.
Exactly.
The knitted boy loves me.
This is very psych. There's something very like psycho, the movie going on here.
Yeah. Like I said, I've posted this on our Facebook page. Just search Vancouver. Comma right question mark into Facebook and you can find the horrifying images from
Yeah,
hell.
You don't get it till the images come through. And like I love how she's like, I need to respect my son's space.
Yeah.
And so to respect his privacy, I'm going to make this huge public thing where I make a giant knitted version of him and put it all over the internet.
I mean, it looks like it stands up on its own too.
Wow.
Maybe she knitted. I feel like she knitted.
It's a marionette.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be horrifying?
Well, she's posing, like putting it into – it's picking its nose here in a candid – she can make it do embarrassing things.
Mm.
And I don't – this poor child, I don't know. I feel like all of his friends are
– Yeah.
Like when this guy turns 17, this thing is in a drunken, stupor is going to be stolen and paraded around at a house party.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
How
does
that?
Burn it at the stake, which they should.
Really.
This should be burnt. The only way for this to not come back is to be burnt with fire.
Yes.
Because otherwise it'll crawl back like Jason every time.
It'll still be back in an awful sequel with some weird stitches in its head like Chucky 3.
Willem Boy 10 in space.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Oh, God. But, we're going to take another little break here,
that's incredible.
We will be right back.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
All right, welcome back to Vancouverite on CITR 101.9. That was Miami Nights 1984 with Early Summer. That's a guy out of Victoria. I love it. Whoever's making the music video for this stuff, they're using great pictures. I think last week, or great images. Last week we played, what's the song called? I forget. We played another one of his songs, and they had matched up all these insane, you know, clips from animated films. And this is from Scarface. And you were talking about in the break there. We were talking about what The Simpsons did in '80s.
Yeah, '80s cartoon couch gag. Yeah, it's amazing. Best couch gag they've probably ever done.
What did it do? What happened?
Started with just the regular Homer sitting on the couch, and then the whole animation style changes, and Homer's like jacked and with an unbuttoned shirt, and the couch is his like partner, and they get these car chases with like these 80s Ferraris and explosions, and it's amazing. All these Simpsons characters show up in like 80s cartoon style. It's really well done.
I don't know what it is about the 80s, but I was born in 89, so I'd have no memory of the 80s, right?
Oh, same with me.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. And so I'm. But it's weird because I'll watch any 80s movie and just be like, yeah, this rules.
Oh, it's so fun. Like it's nostalgia, even though we never have experienced any of it.
Yeah, and music like that is totally, it's totally harkening back to the 80s. It's all about, you know, new retro sort of feel. And even movies like Tango and Cash, have you ever seen Tango and Cash?
Oh, I haven't seen that one, no.
Oh, God, it's so bad. But it's so, like, oh, it's just like the tail end. It might even have been made in the early 90s, but it's the tail end of 80s action movies. Yeah, and it's, what's the guy? Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone in a buddy cop movie.
Oh, hell,
and like Robert Zadar. I don't know if you know who Robert Zadar is. He was like a B actor with this giant chin.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and it's like a ridiculous chin. It's you're thinking of a big chin right now? Go bigger in your head.
My favorite B movie chin is Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, that's a good chin, but Robert Zadar's chin is like it's on the verge of gigantism.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, it's like there's something wrong with his chin. You know, like
this is a concern.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how he puts shirts on. They're all button up.
Yeah, they have to be. Yep.
Yeah, they're all being nothing can breach that chin.
No.
They should. Yeah, anyways, I was going to go into a weird tsunami, you know, seawall thing about his chin, but I don't, honestly, I haven't prepared that at all.
The parts are there.
I'm going to move on from that. If you want to call in, you can. It's 604-UBC-CITR. We also, the show has an email, because this is the modern age, 604podcast@gmail.com. We love getting emails. What are you, do you have any gigs or anything you wanted to get out there to the people?
I do.
I kind of caught you off guard with that, but.
No, that's cool. I've got this Monday coming up is a fun new, I believe it's a monthly show, Jaegers in Kitsilano. I believe that starts around 8 or 9 this Monday, so I'll be up there with a bunch of other fantastic kind of pros and ams and mostly pretty high up there guys. Like I'm pretty stoked to be cool. on the set list, so definitely. Definitely check that out. That's probably the nearest fun thing that I'm doing. And also, it's just kind of in the beginning stages now, but me and my comedian friend Alex Sparling, who's from Yellowknife, we're working on putting together a show of basically Northern re-education, because I'm from the Yukon.
Oh, yeah.
And he's from Yellowknife, so we have some serious beef. We wanted the biggest beef we have is with the rest of Canada, because they just don't know. They don't know where either of us are.
They ignore it.
Yeah. White Horse is Yellowknife, and Yellowknife is White Horse, because both are a color and a noun.
I am extremely ignorant about the north of Canada, but it has some kind of mythology in my mind of being like a frontier and being a cool. Is any of that accurate?
It's mixed. Like the population density isn't very high, but there's definitely industry up there. Like Northwest Territories and Nunavut produce. I think it's either number one or number two producer of blood-free diamonds, also known as diet diamonds.
Okay.
So,
that's
a big thing.
You work in geology, right?
Yeah,
you
have some geology. Kind of... I took my mining engineering here at UBC as well. I just completed that up. So I'm very familiar with the gold mining industry up there.
Yeah.
It harkens back to the gold rush days.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds cool to me. But sorry, I interrupted your, what are you doing with
we're working on putting together just a little show where it's going to be Northern re-education, where we kind of like pick on each other about the different stereotypes that we're both known for in the NWT and in UConn and kind of the appropriation. And again, even addressing that northern mystique and how I get my groceries out of Walmart and don't have to take a gun with me kind of thing.
Right,
it's more more modern than that. and the importance of and significance of these territories that are like a third of the landmass that's so few people know about, and everyone's pretty sure we're part of Alaska. And Discovery Channel doesn't help at all, because they had they have a show called Yukon Man. It's set in Alaska.
Right.
And,
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh god.
On, to be fair, they're on the Yukon River, but the name of the show is remarkably misleading.
No one's looking into that.
No, they're not.
People
they're
just
Yukon
assuming.
Men from the Yukon, and Discovery Channel's like, they can think what they want.
Everything I know about the Yukon came from a show, a cartoon when I was younger called Yvonne
of the
Yukon.
And
that's basically as far as it gets for me.
I believe he was from a town called Up Your Muckluck, which isn't a real place.
I mean, thinking back, you know, it's pretty pretty awful. I mean, whoops. But the, what are the differences? Like, what? Give me a difference that most people don't know between, you know, Whitehorse and Yellowknife.
Whitehorse, trees. Trees and topography and landmarks, generally. Alex despises seeing Inukshuks anywhere but from where he's from, because those were, you needed those, because there was nothing on the horizon except for the, they were your only orientation. So seeing them down in a place with mountains and trees is a little bit unnecessary. So Whitehorse, the Yellowknife certainly has less trees and topography. Whitehorse has a lot of trees and topography. We're all very good at alcohol, which is one thing that we're very fiercely proud of.
And most Canadians think that they are, but you say that the North is particularly versed in it.
I can put it the way that the world thinks of Canada. Canada thinks of the North.
Oh,
that's
kind
of how it is.
I actually worked with a dude from the Yukon at a grocery store many years ago, and he talked about how his grandfather, who was also from, you know, from up there, got his tonsils removed at this backcountry dentist who just actually had this thing. It looked like an eyelash curler, and it had razors on it.
Oh,
and
my.
And he just, like, you know, got back in there and pulled it out and just went, here's some, you know, JD, and get out
and
of here.
And go on your way.
Truck through the snow back to your cabin.
Yeah.
You know, and,
That sounds familiar to my dental experience.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah. You have great teeth. It's amazing what razor blades can do
for
you.
It is. It's very good. Yeah. No tonsillitis for me.
I wanted to talk about this this insane El Chapo stuff.
Oh,
El
yes.
Chapo is, he's the leader of, I'm not sure which, but one of the giant Mexican cartels. There's a few of them. And El Chapo had this secret meeting with Sean Penn. I wanted also to point out that, okay, David Bowie died. Alan Rickman died. Lemmy died.
Yeah.
And then Sean Penn goes and meets the most dangerous man in the world and yet remains unharmed.
Yeah.
It seems like a, like some kind of gross injustice.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, wait, it seems to be a like Lemmy was right after his birthday. Bowie was right after his birthday.
I see.
And Bowie and Rickman were 69. So Sean Penn's still outside of, of that cursed circle that everyone seems to be on.
Well, I don't know. Maybe El Chapo will be offended by whatever movie they're making or something, and he'll put a hit out on Sean Penn. I don't know.
Oh, almost certainly.
Because that's why he went out there, right, is to interview for, you know, he's like, he's trying to method act and learn the movements of El Chapo or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, anyways, he had a secret interview with him, and the of course, the thing that everybody is latching onto are the shirts that El Chapo is wearing, which are like,
oh, they're delightful.
I honestly just want to say El Chapo over and over again as much as I can. But, they're silk and they're very loud pattern, but apparently they're made by some guy in L.A. And they're now, they can't keep them on the shelf.
I bet.
And it's weird how we, you know, as a society are choosing to, you know, this guy's killed probably thousands, hundreds of thousands of people responsible for so many deaths.
Yeah.
You know, third hand, second hand.
And like that's bad, but that's a really cool shirt, Simon.
I mean, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm more upset that they're sold out, you know, than
exactly.
anything. Yeah. It's very silky and many shades of blue and gray, and
he looks very powerful in it.
It's true. It's not. It's unbuttoned a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, he's kind of got the V-neck going down. But that, But then again, it looks powerful on El Chapo, probably because El Chapo is very powerful. If I wore that shirt in that fashion, I would not look powerful.
This is not a Gavin Clarkson shirt.
That, no, almost certainly.
They wouldn't accept you in the Yukon if you showed up with this shirt on.
I would look like a car dealer from the Klondike. I need a garter on my arm.
That didn't sound that bad. I mean,
to be fair, no, probably not.
What kind of cars are they selling up in the Klondike at this point?
Well, I meant car dealer. In the Klondike.
Yeah, right. Oh, card. I see. Yeah, yeah.
How many cars in 1899?
No. That's right. Yeah, I think also there's something about... we're getting a little phone call here.
Oh, good heavens.
Let's answer the phone. Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, I just have some thoughts about what you guys were talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I immediately...
How's the desert?
Have a sneeze.
Are you dodging the bullets? I don't hear much action right now, but are you okay?
I'm all right.
You joined up.
I'm fine. This is Alex.
Yeah, no. Hi, kidding. Alex. No kidding.
Yeah. Usual.
What's going on with you
today? Better co-host of the show. No, Gavin's doing a remarkably good job. This is how people lose their jobs.
Well, bang up job.
Well, they lose their jobs by not showing up. I think that's probably more accurate. Mm.
Yeah.
How are you doing? What are you, have you put pants on yet?
Almost complete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I what?
Have you put pants on yet?
No, I'm actually. That's very funny.
You're still in bed.
I'm completely naked. I'm actually holding my manhood right now.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Moving it around.
A stiff pinky grip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. What's going on, Alex? What's up? How was your show last night?
You know, it was, I actually wasn't able to, I don't want to talk about it, but, you know, Gavin.
Excuse me?
I didn't do well.
Oh.
No.
I wasn't even able to go up.
What?
I got there too late.
Oh.
And then I just watched Gavin, but Gavin did a very, very good job.
And you know what else Gavin did?
What'd I do?
What?
He showed up today, which is fantastic. And he was there last night. Wow.
He's two for two.
To be fair, I was up much earlier, and I was able to go home at a more reasonable time.
Yeah.
I jest, of course. We miss you very much here.
No,
Alex.
I actually have some...
Yeah, what's going on? What's
some thoughts.
Yeah.
About everything that you guys have talked about.
Let's hear it.
First of all, the gladiator thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory about that.
Yep.
There's a period of time where movies came out that posters are not acceptable from.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have to be before that time or current, you know. Like you can have a Adult Swim cartoon. Like you can have a Tim and Eric poster.
Yeah.
Or you can have a Pulp Fiction poster. But you can't have a poster that you still have late fines at a video store that are unpaid, like Gladiator.
Yeah.
You know, Black Dog's still calling you, trying to get...
Yeah.
It's a local... Well,
it's an embarrassing poster. Like, I'm ashamed of it. Yeah, it's awful.
But you're also saying that, like, after a time period, like, you couldn't have a Charlie Chaplin kind of movie poster and still be cool?
Well, I don't think... No, I think that's going to be okay forever. I just think that posters kind of came up at a certain time, and the poster sale... came up at a certain time. Mm. And Gladiator will never, I don't think that'll ever be okay to have that poster. It's not going to age well.
No.
I know the one you're talking about. It's kind of this saturated brownish gold, and he's kind of looking down, right?
Exactly.
Like, you're in the pit.
I have it up on the screen right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrendous. And it says Russell Crowe in loud letters. But Alex, I wish he'd called in earlier because we're getting... the oh-so-famous glares from the next...
Oh, I've had enough. I had a great thing to talk about.
Why didn't you call in 15 minutes ago?
Oh, man. Come and chat with us. You know, I should twirl my fingers.
All right. I'm sorry. We'll talk to you later, Alex.
We gotta
wrap this up. Yeah. Thanks for calling in, buddy. So do you wanna plug your show one more time?
I've Monday at Jaegers in Kitsilano, and you can like my page on Facebook, Gavin Clarkson Comedy, or follow me on Twitter at Gavin_Clarkson.
We are on air every Thursday, 8 o'clock. Listen up, and you can call in and just like Alex did, but hopefully on time. That would be nice. And you can email us 604podcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.